understood the basis of my security. Not understood that it did not reside in me, but resided external economy, and was decided that councils have been consistent for forever. From the first time in my life, I was okay. Let me tell you, if you're okay with the God who made everything, you're okay. Thank you. is the Lord of the peace of the world, for whom the Son died, and who has the Holy Spirit in Christ. Anybody that can be described that way as genuine saved, just to me, he is one more person. In order to come to be lost, the eternal decree and decision of God, the finished work of Christ, and the permanent part of the Holy Spirit of God, all of being completely uncommitted. See, we again, because we're egocentric humans, we think that we lose our salvation. We decided to lose our salvation. We think that if we simply, given our own egocentricity, decided to throw off the shackles of God and go our own way, that somehow we have the power to do that. And that if someone was lost, they were lost because of their own determinate will. If somebody is lost that God has determined to save, then the decree of God, since forever have been turned upside down, the biggest redeeming work of Christ has been completely negated, and the inhabitation of the Holy Spirit is now an eternal thing. For a person who God is trying to save to be lost, everything that God determined to do since before eternity is undone. And friend, you're not big enough to pull that off. This morning, that can be made of eternal security. And hopefully, it will be some help to you so that when we meet you today, you will be okay. We're going to talk about the character of God. Because eternal security is baked in the character of God. And we're going to talk about the eternal intention of the Father of God. And we're going to talk about the finished work of the Son. We're going to talk about the sealing of the Holy Spirit and finish off with some basic Bible logic. Because after all, as Elder McCall said, it is God himself who does complex reasons yet. And I like Bible logic. I like smart Christianity. Because I grew up in dumb Christianity. You can turn on the TV any day and find lots of dumb Christianity. So when we go out in the world and say we're Christians, unfortunately people think, oh, Christian. I'm dumb, aren't you? I was in one of those cases where in order to sit in the pew for any amount of time, you take my top of your head off. And just sit there and accept whatever they said at face value, because it was all just kind of never forgotten the fairy tale really was. I like intelligent Christianity. I am absolutely convinced the Word of God found in the Bible is the single most intelligent proposition in the history of humanity. And it doesn't matter how many times I read it, it doesn't matter how deep I dig into it, it continues to not just entertain me, but it challenges me. And I can go back and read things I know I've read 40 times. It's something new, deep, that I can see before. The Word of God is living, active, and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. He didn't say that someone much smarter than me said that. And he said it 2,000 years ago, and it's still true today. Remarkable. No other book has that capability. No other book can do that. I've read books and given them away. I've read books that sold them on eBay. I've read books. is such that he is, as we have heard, he is sovereign. That is the essential character of God. Because he is sovereign and does everything after the counsel of his own will, he intends to say to man that man cannot overturn the intention of God. Here's the important thing to remember about God. God never tried to do anything. God was not talking to Moses at the time of the Red Sea. He's saying, Moses, here's what I'm going to try to do. I know it's the way the Constitution is behind you, that there's a whole Red Sea in front of you. And here's the deal, Moses, you can call your mom. Here's what we're going to do. This is the water from the land that doesn't make everything. So the people are asking, are we going to stop? Now, here's what I need from you, Moses. Well, here's what I need from you. I'm going to need you to have your faith in my effort. And what I'm saying to this is, what I really want to do is say, and you'll help me out here, Moses, and give me your faith too. Israel is just think about that Israel's faith. God is continually came full to him. I think his character. He cannot lie, and he is faithful, and he can't deny himself. But one of the reasons that he's faithful is that he is protecting his own name. He's protecting his own reputation. And so you see things like Isaiah 28:11, where he says, "For the sake of my own name, I will delay my wrath." To people who deserve wrath. And he said, "And for my praise, I will restrain for you. In order not to cut you off, behold, I have refined you, not like silver. I have tested you in furnace of affliction. For my own name, I will act. Perhaps in my name be forbidden, my glory I will not give to another." But that's God telling you what he's like. That's God explaining his character. And his character is such that his name will never be profaned. Several times when Israel was faithful, to punish them. Moses would intercede and say things like, "Don't let it be said about you that you brought your people out of Egypt to come up into the wilderness and die. Don't let that be your reputation." And God would relent because his name, his character, his reputation is of primary importance to him. If you know that, real firm hold and take sides with God in favor of his reputation. And there's a very practical aspect of this, by the way. Whenever you find yourself in one of those situations where you can do this or you can do this, and you don't know which one to do, which one glorifies God? Do that. Over and over again. The hardest thing to do and the right thing to do are usually the same thing. So do the thing that brings the greatest glory and honor to the name and the reputation of God, because after all, what he's busy doing, so when you say you're a child of God, then make sure that you take sides against yourself. And do the thing that brings the greatest glory to him. Because God's character is such, he's going to protect his reputation. We need to move on. Let's not repeat his public intention. John 6:37-40, just listen to these words. Jesus speaking. This is true authority. We are better than a word. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. For I have come from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. Who has that determination made? As he said, all that the Father gives me will come to me.
me now are sitting right there on the precipice of forever ago and forever to come. We can see the forever ago determination of God playing out in our life right now, which is going to produce the eternity that we have already decided for us. Remember that. Because sometimes life is trivial. Sometimes we get real busy in the junk of life. Sometimes we talk about our time with things that are going to burn. So remember who you are. Remember where you are. And remember the plan of the world. The plan that was determined forever ago. It is now playing out in time. Will come to its culmination and fruition forever from now. And we're right here in the middle of it. That's how security is. But the eternal election is not that difficult. We're going to have Kevin Jeffries explain it to us right now. He doesn't know it, but we're going to have to explain eternal election. It's easy. All you have to do is answer these questions. Yes or no, are you saved? Yes. Who saved you? Jesus saved you. Okay, good. No question. Can he do that by mistake or on purpose? Correct. That's election. God saved some people and did nothing for purpose. Election. And if you know that God saved you and he did it on purpose, then that purpose was determined forever ago. And again, you can't mess that up. Tell you a solemn truth, said Jesus in John 5. The one who hears my message and believes the one who sent me has present energy. Eternal life. You're secure right now, sitting here in Chattanooga, Tennessee, just going to be a million years into eternity. Not even now because of you, but because of the character and the intention of the one who's doing it. Often called Christ. Convinced that neither copies of life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let's not believe that today. Because I did not get. Because I'm a Jew. Because life gets hard. All the junk gets in my head. And I worry about the stuff of glory of life. And I need to remember constantly to God before us in the abuse. And I have to remember constantly just nothing to separate us from the love of God that has been demonstrated in what he did for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. And if you hang on to that, say again, if you hang on to that, you can walk through this life and take whatever life throws at you. Because life is right outside those front doors. It's great to be in here. It's great to be in this room. It's great to have them together and love each other. Let me tell you about that before we leave. What a patient man this is. He always had a little bucket to tell you. It's when he was working in the hotel that I had come check into. And so I came to find him. And I actually started just leaning on him. He didn't want him there. And I'm just leaning on the man. He didn't say a word about it. He continues the conversation he's having. Well, he feels pressure of somebody leaning on him. But he won't turn and walk. And so, can you ignore him? And he's going to lean very hard. And he's going to go, hello! Well, yeah, that's
celebrate and sing and worship and do a push my old bones around and his drums again. We're going to do all that and then come back to the real life in a few days. How are you going to be okay? We feel okay when we're all in here. We go back home when real life strikes in and let the bills come. What happens next time you go to the doctor when your cancer comes up? The next time your child leaves in a car and you don't know if that's the last time you're going to see them the whole time. Where are you going to find security? Where are you going to make peace? Where are you going to find some comfort for your soul? Where are you going to find that realization that no matter what happens, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what life throws at you, I'm going to be okay? Where are you going to get that? You're going to get that from the power of the kind of God you're dealing with. Everything that comes to you. There is nothing that gets to you that does not first pass through scarred, nailed, bloody. First they pass through the hands, then they get to you. And I think it's going to be it. Because everything he's doing intentionally on purpose for your good. Never give the eternal intention of God. This is what I said right at the start. Still flowing through to you. We should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, the love of the Lord, because God has chosen you. From the beginning, for salvation, through sanctification, the Spirit and faith in the truth. The decision to save, who to save, was made by God, who began acting before the foundation of the world. Let's talk just briefly about the finished work of this one. I don't really need to come out with it all because you're all familiar with it. There's anything we staff and grace people know is that we are utterly dependent on the finished work of this one. When we hung on the cross and said it is finished, we believe that it is finished. He knew before he said that, you can read it, that he knew everything was accomplished. He had to perform exactly what the Father had in mind for him, and he fully accomplished it. But even so doing, as our high priest, the book of Hebrews says that he interceded between us and God, that he took his own blood as his final sacrifice, and lives to make the intercession for us. And God believes that. Because he paid the price sufficient to purchase all his people eternally. And he paid the price to forgive his people for all our sinfulness. All our depravity is paid for. When he messes up because we're bound to, he is also always living, sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for us. So he paid for us, he redeemed us, he separated us, he justified us, and he's sitting at the right hand of God, interceding constantly for us. You can't just walk into the security and give it peace. Following that, of course, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. I have plenty of other texts that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has Christ. I'm just going to set that there and believe for the Lord. And we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. We again have to talk too much about the ongoing Ephesians 4:30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God while we are sealed for the day of redemption. Or 2 Corinthians 1:41 and 22 that says, now he that establishes with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts to fulfill as a promise. If the Holy Spirit of God has taken up residence in you, you are sealed and secure
world. The slut came and touched what they accomplished in the eyes of those people. The father sitting with the body of the God in the tomb, all himself should be healed. And those people have been sealed eternally with the Spirit of God, sealed in heaven until the day of their complete and utter eternal redemption. All the Son and Holy Spirit are active in the salvation of his people. The character of God is such that he did in such a way that his own name would be glorified, and his own reputation will be continued throughout all the ages. He will give all the glory. He's not going to share his glory with anyone, and he accomplished all of this so that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is the master plan of work. You can take the term master plan of the eternal life. You just forget that this. So let's talk about the logical term. The problem with being the new creature is that some point lunch becomes competition. God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than the logical. Given that everything I've already said is true, given that everything I've said all that it needs is physical and foundational and provable, and given all that, God says, God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us so much more than the good. I'm amazed by that grace because he God sent his son and he killed his son and his son suffered unbearably until Isaiah would say that his visage was more than any man. It seems to me like it's been enough. Children before the foundation of the world, the Holy Spirit inside me seems like enough. Paul goes on and says, no, that's all true, much more than because we have now been declared righteous by his blood. We will be saved through him from God's wrath. Do you understand that Jesus only went the wrath of God to guarantee that you never will? The wrath of God is real. The judgment of God is real. The wrath of God exists. Hell continues as testimony to the willingness of God to judge. And you'll be tribulated. Because the wrath of God was poured on his son so that you would be delivered from the wrath. If while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, how much more, since we've been reconciled, will we be saved by his life? That is what we were talking about, the eternal living and living of Christ. That he comes out of the grave, and now the same threat of God is the absolute surety that all those that the Father gave him really indeed have eternal life. And I agree, oh, that's good. I agree. Because all I'm doing here is plagiarizing the Bible. And I agree, oh, that's good. Romans 8:32, indeed he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, freely give us all things? Oh, wait a minute, I was doing it, I just don't want to cry. Period, I don't take it. But now, he
Isaiah, who is the star by name, knows exactly how bright it's going to shine. And God created universes and subatomic particles. What is the God who's in charge of every moment and every thought and every moving heart? What is the God who creates and sustains absolutely everything and has all power in his hand? What if the omnipotent Almighty decided that he was going to glorify his Son? What could that kind of God do? To say that we will be joint heirs with him in that. I can't conceive of it. Paul said much more. Oh, yeah, that's much more. He didn't just save us, he didn't just redeem us, he just had more possessed by his one sacrifice. He perfected for those that he sanctified. Thank you.